This is a KUNV Studios original program.
You're listening to Special Programming, brought to you by itswhereiam.com. The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is Dr. G from It's Where I Am, and you're listening to 91.5 FM KUNV. I'm David Jenis, Clinical and Public Relations Director at Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center, and I'm excited to be here this morning to bring to you some questions from listeners that have forwarded along some mental health questions. So this is a first for me as guest host on It's Where I Am, having an opportunity to engage more with our listeners and to provide a response from me, a licensed mental health therapist in the state of Nevada, as well as California, to answer some of your questions. So my special guest today that is here with me is Scooter, who is the activities director at Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center. Good morning, Scooter.
Good morning, Dr. G. Thank you for having me back. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. I have had my cup of coffee this morning, and I have a little bit more energy, and I'm ready to go. I'm prepared. My mind is prepared to answer these questions.
All right. Let's go.
So without further ado, if you wouldn't mind, Scooter, reading the very first question.
Okay. Very first question I have for you, Dr. G, is how can we help with self-esteem issues?
Wow. Well, self-esteem is something that I believe all of us endure. So self-esteem, I want to take a moment to define it first, because I think that's really important. Self-esteem is how we each view ourselves, feel about ourselves. It's our confidence level in our ability. It represents and infuses so much of our oomph, I think, to be able to attack certain tasks and to feel like we have the confidence in executing something. And if in the event, in our efforts, in our attempt when executing something or trying to problem solve or complete something, if we fail, if we have higher belief in ourselves, higher or more positive self-esteem, we usually do better. So for those of us who might be challenging with some self-esteem issues, I want to say and acknowledge you're certainly not alone. And I think all of us as human beings endure a process in which we all go through where we're working on ourselves. We're trying to figure out who we are as an individual, and all that certainly impacts how we view ourselves. So some of the things that I like to recommend to individuals that have lower self-esteem, I feel we need to start at the basics. And what I mean by that in regards to this question is that we need to work towards liking ourselves. And one activity that I often do speak about with patients is I will encourage patients to hopefully I be able to identify 3 to 5 positive attributes or values that they like about themselves. And sometimes even identifying 3 positive attributes is an extreme challenge for some individuals, because their self-esteem, their ideas of their own self-worth, their self-perception of who they are is very low and negative. And so I really work with them hard at identifying 3 to 5 positive things that they like about themselves. We write these positive attributes, values, characteristics on post-it notes. And then I have the individuals put the 5 Post-it notes on the top of their mirror in the bathroom that they primarily use to use the bathroom or to get ready in the morning. So that my intention is that each time this individual utilizes their bathroom, when they go wash their hands, they're going to catch a glimpse of these post-it notes in the mirror. And each time they catch a glimpse of the post-it note, I want them to either read out loud or think by mind reading what is said about themselves, so that eventually it becomes more of an internalized belief, and that they start believing in themselves and believing the positive characteristic or value that they've identified about themselves, and then therefore that's going to impact their self-esteem in a positive way.
It definitely will. So, next question I have for you: how can you help someone that has a sad or anxious mood swing?
Okay, that's a good question. So, you know, feelings in general, we all experience them, and for some individuals, they want to shy away from embracing and experiencing emotion because it's too raw, it's too uncomfortable. And I'm an individual that I believe a life worth living is a life worth feeling. And I'm certainly an emotions guy. I feel very comfortable processing with patients and for myself, experiencing feeling emotion in a positive way. And there are some uncomfortable emotions that can infuse a lot of thinking, thoughts that are uncomfortable for people. But feelings, I think, is something that we all have to learn how to manage and how to hold. And so I'm a big encourager of individuals not shying away or running away from feeling what it is that they're enduring or experiencing in a conversation or an interaction. Because ultimately, if we can all learn how to manage our emotions, positive and negative emotions, we're going to have more success at fostering healthy relationships and sustaining healthy relationships over a period of time. So mood management. Okay, here is, so I feel that all of us can occasionally wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Of course.
And so what I mean by that is that maybe we, when we wake up in the morning, we're not feeling like ourselves.
Right.
You know, maybe we're already starting the day off feeling pretty down, feeling stressed, and just not like our normal self. You know, I don't know how many of you listeners ever feel that way, but, you know, I think it's an experience that we can relate to. And so when we wake up in the morning, we're already starting off at a deficit, or we're starting off on a negative note. And so I believe, though, that with perspective taking, with intention, right from the get-go, we can start changing how we feel and our mindset as soon as we wake up.
I agree.
So, and what I mean by perspective taking, so it's important to recognize and to do a self inventory, a self assessment. What's going on with myself right now? Am I feeling stress? Am I experiencing worry? Am I fatigued? Am I hungry? You know, there's all factors that can go in to impact our mood. You know, do we have a lot on our plate this week? Are we feeling overwhelmed? And so, you know, checking in with ourselves, doing that self-assessment to identify what it is that might be contributing to our mood, to feeling down, to feeling sad, to feeling overwhelmed. And though, if we're not able to identify specifically what's contributing to why we're feeling so down, that's okay. That's absolutely okay. You know, if you're aware of how you're feeling, though, and with intention, consciously, you're doing something to shift feeling down to maybe just feeling okay about the day and being able to move throughout your day, having a little bit more success at not feeling so down or so overwhelmed, then I feel like you're already halfway there in terms of making a positive change to manage one's mood. You know, I'm a big proponent of self-talk and utilizing positive self-talk to influence our mood and to take our control back, if you will, in how we're feeling and creating a shift in our mindset so that we can be more successful at navigating throughout our day at feeling a little bit happier and less sad, less down, less overwhelmed. So, you know, perspective taking, I think, is so powerful, and it's something that I don't believe we talk about enough or as often, because all of us really do have more control over our mood and the ability, all of us have the ability to shift our mood when we're feeling down to feeling more optimistic about life, maybe more upbeat, in general, just more positive.
Okay. Do you feel laughter and being positive is contagious?
Oh my goodness. So I personally love to laugh. And if you get me going, Scooter, I have sometimes a hard time to stop. I think laughter absolutely is contagious, and it's so healthy. And when I start laughing, I get into the belly. And it feels good in my body when I laugh, and the sounds that come out of me of joy, I think are contagious. And you know, listeners, I think if you have the opportunity to laugh more and infuse that level of joy into your life, I think you'll feel in your body lighter and less stressed. And also, it does go back to what I was just saying about perspective taking, because if we think more positively more often, we're probably going to feel more optimistic and more positive about life.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so my next question would be, if a parent is raising an adolescent, how would a parent diffuse challenges like behavioral issues that they might be having?
Oh, Scooter, that's a great question. So fortunately, at the moment, I am out from, as a parent, raising teenagers, because my boys are now 23 and 27. So, but I went through this, and I remember sometimes, you know, I wanted to pull my hair out. Oh, wait, I don't have any hair, listeners. But I felt that way. I felt like I wanted to pull my hair out sometimes because of the internalized stress and frustration I was experiencing as a parent. You know, I think all of us do the best that we can with the knowledge that we have access to, with the life experience that we have got to endure. It's hard. It's so hard being a parent. I think it's one of the most rewarding jobs, but I think it's also, for me, one of the most challenging jobs. And fortunately, when I would make a mistake parenting my boys, they would allow me opportunities to make it up and to repair, you know, the damage in regards to, you know, maybe hurting their feelings because of how I provided direction or how I engaged with my boys. And so, you know, little people have feelings.
Absolutely.
And adolescents are extremely moody.
We can be.
You know, they're managing lots of changes chemically in their bodies, their hormones. And, you know, they're also learning how to navigate through social peer interactions. They're trying to identify and create who they are as a young person, who they want to be, who do they, and they're trying to figure out who do they look up to.
Right.
And so they have all this stuff going on, and then they have to deal with us adults.
Right.
And their lovely parents. And so I know how frustrating it can be sometimes when we come home after a long day at work and we're already depleted because we just spent 8 to 10 hours at work, and then our teenagers are coming at us and they're asking for this and they want to know when dinner's ready, and we haven't even had a chance to, you know, take off our coat yet. We have to make dinner, and so we're still in that mindset of go, go, go.
Yes.
And so as a parent, our patience threshold may be really stretched because we don't have too much to give at that point in the early evening. And our kids are coming at us, and they just want this, and they want that, and they're asking for this. And, you know, it can draw on our very last ounce of patience.
It can.
So, you know, what I did was is that I have family meetings. And so we would come together and we'd check in with each other as far as, you know, how was everybody's day, and really make an investment in each other and hearing what each one of us needed in order to feel listened to and to feel validated. And so my boys understood that when Dad came home, I needed 15 minutes so I could go use the restroom, maybe change my clothes, and just have a little time of reprieve from not focusing on driving home in my car, and just having an opportunity for myself to kind of transition, if you will, from being in work mode and then transitioning into parent slash family mode. And so that was something that was really pivotal for me in being more successful as a parent. So, you know, I talked to my boys, and they understood, you know, just like when they would come home from school, they would appreciate some quiet downtime themselves so that they could maybe get a snack when they came home from school, just to quiet their mind. They might want to have a little video game time to decompress from that day before they started doing their homework. And so we all were on the same page as far as learning about each other and what each other needed in order to be successful when we all got home and were together as a family. And you know, parents out there, for those of you that are actively overseeing and caring teenagers, another parent once said to me when my boys were first entering their teens that aliens come down from outer space and they suck the brains out of our adolescents, and they don't get their brains back until their 20s. And when I heard this, you know, I giggled, I laughed, and I took a minute, I paused and I reflected, and I thought to myself, oh, this parent is so astute because she's right. And yes. And so for those of you that are praying that your child is going to get a clue and that they're going to figure out their life plan, I promise you, they will, but you got to be patient because it doesn't happen overnight. And truth be told, that their brain does not even fully develop until the time they turn 25 years old. So I encourage you now to identify what coping skills you that you have access to, the tools that you need to re-energize yourself, to kind of refuel your gas tank so that you can continue to be more patient with your children, and to be emotionally attuned in listening to your kids and providing the support, the insight that they need in order to continue moving forward as little people, as I say.
Okay. So switching gears here a little bit. How can we help patients that you know are out of character from their normal character?
Oh, that's a good question, Scooter. You got some good questions from some of our listeners, Scooter. Okay. So at Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center, we predominantly provide clinical services to adults today.
Yes.
And many of our adults have endured severe mental illness throughout much of their adult lifetime.
Yes.
And so severe mental illness, this is typically diagnoses that are more intensive as far as the symptomology in which one struggles with and learns to deal with and manage in their daily life. So these are individuals who may hear voices, may have hallucinations, may experience delusions, could have a history of homelessness, of drug use, being exposed to trauma, horrible traumas. A lot of things go into what has contributed to these individuals having severe mental illness. So, Scooter, at Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center, can you speak a little bit in regards to the services that we provide there? And then, you know, I'm going to continue to speak after we kind of share a little bit about, you know, what we do to support our adults.
Well, at Great Minds, we provide psychiatric medical care, family therapy, primary care, individual therapy, wellness classes.
So we do a lot. And though I think why Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center is as successful as the provider is not just because we provide all those things. That's great. But I really do believe, though, it's the services that we don't get reimbursed for that we provide to our patients, to our community members, so that we can help them have access to care. And so what I'm referring to is that at Great Minds, we do a lot of case management work.
Right.
And so we work with individuals from the perspective, though, that we are going to help them meet their basic needs first so that then they can transition into a mental health and emotional space to focus then on clinical services. So if an individual comes to us and doesn't have consistent, sustainable housing, this is an issue that we're going to attack and try to figure out how we can get this person housed. If they, you know, need assistance with food, at Great Mind Counseling, we provide meals all throughout the day. We have different tracks in which patients come and participate in the clinical services, and we feed our people all day long because we believe that if people are hungry, they're not going to be able to focus and really work on their clinical stuff that we're providing so that they can be successful. In this day and age, individuals need to have identification. And it's not uncommon that those that come to us for clinical help don't come with identification. So we help them then attain their IDs. If they don't have a social security card, we will help them attain, you know, a social security card. So part of the work that we do is work that's not reimbursable. We don't get paid to do some of the things that we do, but it's very important to us and we hold it near and dear because we really want to set up individuals to be successful at accessing then the services that they need to be healthy. And so it's a whole process that we focus on at Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center. So going back though to this listener's question, can you read the question again?
Normal.
Yeah. Okay. So if an individual is experiencing active psychosis, if they're not presenting at their baseline. So you use the word normal, or the listener used the word scooter normal. So, you know, we are going to assess the individual's level of safety, because even though someone may be experiencing psychosis or may be experiencing internal stimuli, so they could be hearing voices, they could be seeing something that we're not hearing or seeing.
Right.
It does not necessarily mean that they're unsafe, but they are experiencing some psychosis.
Correct.
And so typically individuals that we treat at Great Mind, they are also receiving medication management services, whether through us or through another provider. And medication is really helpful for those individuals that are experiencing psychosis or delusions, because it helps quiet down the intensity of the psychosis in which the individual is experiencing. So, you know, we really work hard at Great Mind Counseling to build and foster and sustain an environment where people feel safe. And this is particularly important to us. And it also applies to our team members. So for me, you know, I'm committed to fostering an environment of inclusivity where people feel welcome and that they feel heard, where employees such as Scooter, I hope, feel empowered to have an opinion and to share their voice, and that they look forward to coming to Great Minds Counseling to help our community and to help community members. And so it's a dual process, because how we strive to treat our patients with respect and with dignity and integrity, I hope that I'm doing a good job, Scooter, at treating all of you, my teammates, with the same level of respect and dignity and integrity.
Back to my questions about medicine. How can we help clients or our patients if we notice them being over-medicated?
Okay, that's a good question too. So, all right, so working from a trauma-informed care perspective, maybe, you know, I could do a whole show on trauma-informed care, so I'm gonna speak really succinctly and just go into trauma-informed care is approaching the delivery of clinical services from the perspective, from the lens that everybody has experienced trauma, so that therefore by acknowledging that, the service providers or the individual is mindful of how to engage with a person, and so that we are not saying or interacting in a way that could trigger a patient. You know, I think it's hopefully you enjoyed the show. So I think Scooter wants to say one more thing, though. We have something coming up.
We have an event coming up next Thursday, March 28th, Great Mind Community Event, and DJ Russian Roulette will be there. We're going to be giving out karaoke prizes. First place, $100.
Woo!
Second prize, $50. Third prize, $25. We're going to give out bingo. We can win up to $200 in cash prizes. Play some horse racing games. Went up to about $200 as well. And it's at 1600 East Desert Inn Road in Las Vegas. And again, that's next Thursday, March 28th.
And what time does this event start?
Oh, it starts about 12 o'clock.
Okay, so for those of you listening, if you are out and about and you enjoy karaoke and you want to, and you're interested in maybe throwing your name in the hat and singing a song, please feel welcome to join us at Great Mind Counseling and Wellness Center. Again, we are located at 1600 East Desert Inn Road, and the fun is going to begin around noon. So please feel welcome. We enjoy providing this safe event for community members to have a little fun. And for listeners this morning, I want to say that, you know, I look forward to when we have the opportunity to talk next time. And I'm Dr. G. on KUNV 91.5 FM, and this is It's Where I Am.